Hallelujah. Let's pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Just asking the Lord to grant us supernatural understanding tonight. We're gathered to know him. We're gathered for an encounter. We're gathered to be lifted. We're gathered to be edified. Are you praying? Lift your voice and pray in the spirit. Following online, pray in the spirit. Shalabakata prunda sedegede balakatush. Embrata sadabalat shadabakata prandegede balakatush. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Shana sadabalas kata prandegede paratush shadas. Shkemakata barata kata prandegede balakatush. Mighty God. In the name of Jesus, just one prayer point and then we'll be seated. Father, transform my life tonight by the power of your word. Lift your voice and pray. Transform my life by the power of your word. Grant me access to spiritual understanding. Are you praying? Shenakata prandesko de balasha da haska baratus yate. Embrantas katila haske baratus yataba. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Good evening, everybody. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord. Every time we show up, the Bible says they go from strength to strength, as many as appear before the Lord in Zion. Lord, we have come desperate for knowledge. We have come hungry for an encounter. We have truly come to be transformed. And we know that you will lift us tonight. Let your word come with fire. Let it come to change our lives. And Lord, whilst the word comes, heal the sick. Let the oppressed be delivered. Let age-long burdens be lifted. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Please sit down. We have so much to do tonight and we have to work with time. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. And now, brethren, he says, King James, please, I commend you to God. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able. The word of God has the ability to, number one, build you up. It's a language of edification. And then number two, to deliver unto you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. And so the Bible says the word of God sustains the ability to build a believer, build in knowledge, build in understanding, and then to deliver unto you an inheritance. Hallelujah. This will be part two, the mysteries of the kingdom. Jeremiah 6 verse 16. We're considering divine patterns and the mysteries that control supernatural dimensions of excellence and results in the kingdom. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Hallelujah. Last week we began to discuss how that the kingdom operates on divine patterns, a prescribed methodology, a pattern, and that every time the glory of God is revealed over a life, over an individual, please listen carefully, It is because spiritual patterns have been kept. Hallelujah. Second to your encounter with God directly, you must press to know the patterns of the kingdom. There is a pattern for salvation. There is a pattern for prosperity. There is a pattern for increase. There is a pattern for longevity. There is a pattern for restoration. And so the assignment of the Holy Spirit in partnership with the Word is to enlighten the believer, to open us up to these divine patterns. And I told us last week that the Bible is a compendium of divine patterns. More than just a literature, a piece of literature, more than just a book of history and archaeology, it is a spiritual compendium of the patterns of the kingdom. And the name given to these patterns are mysteries or secrets. Hallelujah. That your excelling in this kingdom and my excelling in this kingdom does not just depend on the love of God alone, but our extent of spiritual enlightenment. This is one of the reasons why it is important to come to the house of the Lord, because he will teach us his ways, the Bible says. Hallelujah. That is why it is a real attack to be distracted when the word of God is coming. Because that is when your lifting is coming. You see, the word of God functions like a tray. If you are to serve a guest a drink or a meal, you put that meal on a tray. Is that true? Sometimes the guest may not see what is on the tray, but there is an assurance. The presence of the tray tells the visitor or the guest that there is something there. The word of God is like a tray. You may not know what is there, but once you see it, begin to rejoice, because whatever is there is for your good. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, that they are thoughts of peace, good, and not of evil, to bring you an expected end. Are we together? I submit to you that the truth you are about to learn will radically transform you. In the name of Jesus Christ. And then I also submit to you that the truths you are about to learn are not opinions. It will be risky and even evil to teach you opinions. Opinions are very subjective. They are dependent on many, many factors. But the immutable counsel of God, unbending, unchanging, it will work for anybody regardless the circumstances. These laws of the kingdom are backed up by the jealousy of God. His jealousy is upon it to ensure, he says, I will watch over my word like a hen over her chicks, to ensure that there is a performance to it. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3, before we begin our discourse tonight. There is no man who has the ability to invent these deep mysteries and these spiritual laws. They are revealed. The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 3, please give it to us. Let's start from, say, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 3, that it is by revelation that these mysteries are made known. Paul is speaking now. Do not wonder how I learned these things. Do not wonder how I got into the comprehension of this truth, he said. It is by revelation that he, the Holy Spirit, made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote aforetime. There are some things in the realm of the spirit is beyond education and is beyond learning. You must be introduced to that body of truth by the Spirit of God. Are we together? Yes. This is powerful. Please go to verse 8. Verse 8. Unto me, he said, who I am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. 9. He says, and to make all men see. You must see tonight, because there is a grace available. This is more than a lecture. It's more than an exegesis of scripture. There is a grace that can make all men see. What is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning the world, the Bible says, had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. 10. To the intent. This is why you'll be learning what you will learn tonight. That unto principalities, arrogant spirits, and yokes that said you will never rise, enchantment.
potential from common mentors and my privilege with my work with God. I don't know how many of them will come up to them, maybe just three or four, and then we'll pray with half the work with time. But I speak with you in the name of Jesus, like the apostle said, I beseech you by the message of God. Do not just listen for information. Oh, I know this. There is a kind of people the Bible says they are ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. The goal of knowledge is that it will transform your life. And then when you are transformed, your results will show that you are transformed. Why do we need to be transformed? And why do we need to produce results? John 15, verse 8. Caring is our Father glorified. When ye
I'll lose again it. This is a very interesting scripture. So in this kingdom we gain by losing, and that every time you attempt to keep, you will surely lose. Whosoever will lose his life, he will gain it, and soever will save it and keep it. The first question is, what is your life made of? Your life is made of many things. Your life is made of your time. Your life is made of your resources. Your life is made of your sacrifices. And he says that if out of fear you keep those things that constitute your life, you will lose it. But that in losing it for my sake and for my kingdom, you will gain it. The price for all of God is all of you. The price for unusual dimensions of power, more than fasting, you've heard me say it, more than praying, more than night vigils, more than prayer conferences, the real price for the grace of God is a heart that is completely surrendered. It's a realm in the spirit called Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, that is the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. The last enemy the Bible declares that shall be destroyed is death. And the highest fear of men in this realm is death. Men will do anything to preserve their lives. Is that true? When an armed robber points a gun at you, suddenly your money does not become important again. You can tell him, take the money, take everything, but please preserve my life. That means a man who is dead no longer fears, because the highest thing that can happen has happened to him already. Are we together? Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 from verse 28. Matthew chapter 10 from verse 28. It says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." 29. "And are two sparrows not sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father?" Verse 30. It says, "But the hairs of your head are numbered." I hope I'm on the right scripture. Find for me that scripture. Let's go to Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14. But find for me the scripture that says, "We have left all to follow you," the apostle said. But let's look at this one while we look for that. "And ye shall seek me." This is one of the most powerful revelations about this encounter. "You shall seek me and only find me when you search for me with" how many? "All your heart." Your entire being must pant for me. You will seek for me with your reputation. You will seek for me with your intelligence, your knowledge, and everything. That means if you claim to seek God and you do not find him, there is something still alive in you. The Bible says, Isaiah chapter 6, I believe verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died," something must die for you to see. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw." "In the year that my pride died, I saw." "In the year that my ego died, I saw." "In the year that my agenda died, I saw." Please keep that scripture there. We'll go back to Matthew 19, but please let's go back to Isaiah 6. "In the year that my ambition died, I saw." There is a price to see the Lord. The price is that that king must die. Whatever is Lord of your life is your own Uzziah. If you do not sustain the ability to let it die, you will not see the Lord. Hallelujah. The motif of a man's heart must be purged, must be vetted for you to do business with God in this kingdom. Again, I repeat, the price for all of God is all of you. Not your offering, not your money. The price for all of God is all of you. This is one of the fundamental laws that God taught me. That if you are able to die to self, die to your ambition. To die does not mean to not focus on them. To die means to demote them until Jesus becomes enthroned. Are we together now? God does not intend to take these things out of your life. What I'm teaching you is what you bring them. Remember, in Genesis chapter 28, Jacob made a very big mistake. He had an encounter with God, and yet he had so many things in his heart. He could not benefit from that encounter, even though he was at the gates of heaven. But then he suffered for many years in the house of Laban. By the time we get to chapter 32, here's what the Bible says, that Jacob dismissed his wives, go. Jacob dismissed his cattle, go. When he was alone. That's the price. When he was alone. It didn't mean he was irresponsible. They were still his own. But he said, go, go away. When he was alone, then a man came. And he fought him and he began to wrestle with him. And he said, bless me. And he said, you are breaking the law. I want to bless you, but you are complete in yourself. The only way to bless you is I must empty you. And he touched the whole of his thigh so that he becomes incomplete without God. The moment you are complete without God, you do not need him again. He becomes the completer of your destiny. He touched his thigh. Your stability now depends on his assistance. You never can be stable without him again. And he called it a blessing. That is how I bless people. I bless people by destabilizing them without me. I bless people by creating a system around their life where I become the completer of their lives. And then the Bible says, he said, what is your name? Jacob, a cheat, a supplanter. He says, thou shalt no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, you have power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. And the Bible says he blessed him, and the sun arose, and he called that place Peniel, the face of God. I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. The law of complete surrender. Ask anyone who is mightily used by God today. They will tell you they did not start their journey looking for ministry. Please listen carefully. They didn't start their journey looking for fame or for power. It was a blind pursuit for spiritual things. God, it is either all of you or nothing else. That's how they encountered power. That's how they encountered grace. It was said of Apostle Babalola, he was strolling in the wilderness and suddenly fire from heaven. Responding to his hunger. It was not his plan to be some great apostle. But there are many people from the beginning of the walk, you already have PA and protocol, and you are planning how your fame will go around. Sorry, this is not how God does business with men. Don't just pray for a man's anointing, pray for his hunger, pray for his sacrifice, pray for the administration of death that happened. Power does not just come. God is not a herbalist. You don't just speak and things happen just because you are a Christian. There is a track record. There is blood dripping upon the altar. Listen, you want to lift your voice and things begin to happen? It's more than an impartation. No. The grave, where death ends, is also where resurrection starts. If you want to resurrect, you will still have to enter the grave. You can't be resurrected when you are outside the grave. The condition for resurrection is you must be inside the grave. Now, I'm not a medical doctor, and forgive me if I say something that is wrong. I'm asking for forgiveness now in advance. But I hear that there are certain drugs, if you don't have that sickness and you take them, they have a way of, it's like they almost make you have that sickness before they treat it. So if you say, Lord, I want to be alive in you, and you are alive, the first assignment of the grace that comes upon you is to kill you. By the time you die to yourself, kill you does not mean finish your life. Kill you means dethrone everything until you are left alone. This is what men fear, because we want something we can find security in. I want to do ministry, but let my certificate be there in case it fails. I want to love God, but let something be there. I know that God wants to lift me, but uncle, be there in case I need you. And God says, you are not ready for me. The law of complete surrender. We have a generation whose faith is auxiliary faith. It's not pure faith. It's not total dependence on God. Surrender. There is nothing in my life today, nothing in my life today that I cannot give to God. Oh, if I'm lying, may he forgive me. But there is nothing in my life. Koinonia will close down if God says this is the last service. It will close down, never to open again forever. Reputation, nonsense. No. Never leave where fame met you. Never leave where lifting met you. If it met you on your knees, remain there. Even when you rise, don't let men clap you into your doom and destruction. David was dancing before the Lord, undignified, and his foolish wife, Saul's daughter, said, why are you falling your hand, paraphrasing? Why are, do you not know you are now royalty? You are still behaving as if you are a shepherd. And he said, I'm dancing before the God who took the kingdom from your father and gave to me, so that he will not take it from me and give another. Listen to me. When you die to yourself, all of these mundane things, I am apostle, you just called me Joshua Selman, I am this a very, very long time. Hallelujah. How am I supposed to behave? Fly? I was nowhere when he found me. Oh. I was nowhere when he found me. Oh. Thank God for your presence. But I will remain where you met me. I will remain where you had my teachings. I will remain where you saw the miracles. Hold on to the four horns of the altar. Don't be embarrassed about your death. Let everybody who comes, let them fly from London, from US, and meet you still at the place of death. You may be inside a jeep but still be dead. You may be inside a five-star hotel but still be dead. The pressure from your company is about to eat you up because it is still your own. You see, owners take responsibility. Stewards only maintain while owners take responsibility. When you own things in this kingdom, you are responsible for keeping it. Are we blessed? You're a minister of the gospel here. Please listen. If your desire is to be a superstar, to shine, another apostle, let me advise you very early, in the name of Jesus and in the name of honesty, return back to the secret place and flog it out this night with destiny. The secret to fame is to forget about it. Focus on his presence. Focus on his presence. Don't be ashamed to let men know he took you from nothing. It's not weakness. It's not, you are not insulting yourself. No. Are we blessed? I marvel at the wonder-working power of God. Literally every day, I see the mighty things that God is doing in and through the lives of people. I am humbled and broken. Sometimes I look at myself and I said, oh dear, oh dear, what God can do with people who die. Death is the price for life. Death is the price for life. This is the first. You want to be great in this kingdom. You want to last. You want to be exalted. I am telling you, go back and flog it with God. Enter a covenant with God and say, no matter how great you lift me, I will lift you while people are lifting me. You must be the highest. It will never be about me. Thank God for the applause. Thank God for the good speaking. Thank God for all of the great things God is doing around the world. But in the name of Jesus, as an individual and as a ministry, may we never get to a point where we push Jesus out. And we are just holding church, but Jesus is not there. We are doing ministry, but he's not there. He remains the epicenter, the focal point of all that we do. Let Joshua Selman go. If Jesus remains, we are still intact. Let fame go. If Jesus remains, we are still intact. But let everything remain. If Jesus goes, we are in trouble. Is someone learning now? Yes. I show you why you are not seeing spiritual power. Why certain levels of grace. I know you are fasting for 10 days. You are fasting for 50 days. But already competitive jealousy is the motivation for the fast. You are still alive. You will not find power that way. You want to just speak? May your life change and people's lives change. It doesn't happen like that. God is not a herbalist. He's not a magician. There are mysteries in this kingdom. This is why men wonder when God continues to lift us. And then they wonder, is it that you don't like fame? You are doing as if you are not enjoying this thing. My one desire is that you be praised, that you be praised, that you be praised. My one desire is that you be praised, that you be praised. Listen, let me tell you. You have not seen prosperity till you die. You have not seen lifting till you die. When you really die, you will lay up gold as dust. You will not know what to do with it. All this clamor people are looking for. Believe me, see, I tell you this, I don't mean to insult your pedigree. There are very successful and great people here. But I submit to you in the name of Jesus and in the name of honesty. I have tasted of honor. I have tasted of lifting. I have stood before kings. The person talking to you is not an ignorant person. I count it but dung for the excellency of his presence. When you die to yourself, God will take somebody's prayer request and give you as a gift. What people are chasing after.
Now forever be chasing after you. I'll be chasing after you. And now forever be chasing after you. I'll be chasing after you.
One more time.
I'll forever be chasing after you. I'll be chasing after you.
You see, I've had the privilege and honor of meeting extremely successful people. Some of them seated here respectfully. And you know the character of exceptional people by the level of humility in their lives. You will almost always confuse them. It is those who don't have anything that make a lot of noise and misbehave. You will see someone who owns estates, owns all kinds of things, and yet a humility almost to a fault. I remember many years ago in this city, very interesting story. A dear man I respect so much, he took me somewhere to go and barb. That was the first time in my life I was going to be paying that kind of money, or it would be paid on my behalf for barbing. I wanted to say, what is it about the barbing? I mean, give me the clipper. I can barb. What is on my head for that kind of amount? I won't tell you how much. Ah, boy, it's an amount you must fear God to forget about it. For a haircut? Very wonderful executive place. And I saw a woman who was moving around trying to find out. She would see pieces of papers and pick it on the ground and do a lot of things. I was almost saying, what a diligent staff. And someone tapped me and said, don't say that. That's the owner of the place. I said, uh-huh. That's how you know. You can see someone who owns a mega restaurant, chains of restaurants all across the continent. Oh, you don't have this, there's no water, just a moment. And they will run and bring it. Because they are focused on impact, not a name. You have a choice, focus on your reputation or focus on genuine results. Genuine kingdom results. Please lay your hand on your head and pray and cry in 1 minute. Father, take away everything that makes me alive in the flesh. Let there be that spiritual circumcision in the name of Jesus. You watching online, make sure you are following. Pray. I want to engage this law in my life. Absolute surrender. Prune my motive. Prune my motivation. Prune my motive. Prune my motivation. All I desire is Jesus revealed. All I desire is Jesus glorified. In my promotion, Jesus revealed. Jesus glorified. In my being anointed, Jesus revealed. Jesus glorified. In my being famous, Jesus revealed. Jesus glorified. Shalakatus yakata. Enter a covenant with God. Lord, as you lift me, you are lifted in my life. As you raise me, you are raised in my life. As you promote me, you are promoted in my life. I have no agenda to make a name for myself. My pursuit is not for self-aggrandizement. It is for your kingdom. Hallelujah. I submit to you in the name of Jesus sincerely. This is my one agenda. At the back of everything that I do, at the back of everything that I seek, is you that I see. It's you that I see. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. That must become your desire. Why are you looking for that job? Why are you seeking to be a billionaire? There's nothing wrong with those things in themselves. God is not interested in those things. He wants to know what is the motive. Even those who practice occultism, these native doctors and these sorcerers will ask them, you want money? I can give you money. But the condition is that there has to be an allegiance. That's what they want. Satan came to Jesus, your Jesus, and said, I will give you everything. Just bow to me. That's what I want. I don't want the money. What does Satan do with money? Listen to me. Dear people of God, there are levels of liftings. There are levels of influence. There are levels of honor we are yet to tap into. The way up is to go down. That's how Jesus taught us. The Bible says, he that ascended, he first descended. Are we blessed? This is a principle I've learned. One of the mysteries that the Lord gave to me. One time the Lord spoke to me and he said, son, if you will let men see me, there is nothing I will not give you. And I vowed that for the rest of my life, I will let Jesus be revealed in my life. He's the mystery behind the results that you see in this ministry. He came to Nicodemus by night and says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a man sent from God, for no man can do these things. These results you see, it is not within the power of a man to do it. I know that sometimes we men of God, we like to take the glory and to shine and make it look as if it's our intellect is a lie. This is the Lord's doing. That is why it is marvelous in our sight. Men cannot go that far in their strength. So for your business, forget about the issue of business now. Forget about the issue of fame. Forget about the issue of lifting. Just focus on him and say, Lord, purify my heart sincerely. I confess that somewhere along the lines of my pursuit, I've been motivated by other things. Don't feel guilty. This is why you are in the house of God. I saw that man buy a Jeep. And something within me said, you are not a failure. He was your classmate. Make sure you get it too. I saw my contemporary ministry demonstrating superior dimensions of power. And then I went to fast and said, Lord, don't embarrass me.
All I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted. All I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted.
If we stop here tonight, you go back with this understanding and pray, and God will tell you this. For some of you, this is the one. It's not the devil limiting your rising. It's that God knows if you rise without hearing this message, you will be a disaster first to yourself, because no eye has seen, no ear has heard. Let me tell you, if it's money you are looking for, the God in heaven can daze you in a way that you will sit down and look at money and not know what to do with it. Believe me. As I'm saying it now, some of you are saying, ah, God, he will not give you, he will not answer that prayer until that circumcision happens. Yes, sir. that God can make any demand in your life and your answer is yes, sir. Give me the car, it was yours from the beginning. Give me the house, it was yours from the beginning. Give me the ministry, it was yours. Give me the reputation, I'm only representing your reputation. The reason why you can trust the bank with your money is because of ease of withdrawal. When you go to withdraw, there's no stories. God is only able to trust you to the degree to which he can have it back without complaint. Can he give you greatness and fame and make demand? Abraham, take now thy son, thy only son whom thou lovest, after 25 years of mockery. Let me tell you this. Honestly, if it is God you want to do business with, no matter how you pray and fast, the litmus test of death must happen to you. Must is a non-negotiable condition. If it is greatness in this kingdom you seek, there will be a demand. Something that is so alive in your life must die one day. Take Isaac, offer him as a burnt offering. I'm not talking money here. And Abraham rose up early. Do you know what that meant to Abraham's family life? What was he going to tell his wife? What were the newspapers? Imagine, as a journalist, interpret what happened in our contemporary world today. A very notable prophet of God sacrifices his son. That's the caption. 1 million likes. 1 million shares. Madman. Commentaries will come from several places. The next 1 month will be the stories of people. Yet Abraham said, I'm willing to risk my reputation that far. Romans chapter 4 tells us his contemplations. Even though he was crying, his plan was to kill Isaac and beg God to bring him back to life. You read it, it's in Romans chapter 4. Do you know how oil that we use for the anointing, I hope you know, it comes out of olive. And it does not just, you don't just pluck olive and then oil comes out of it. Find out how oil is made. You have to crush the olive. You pass it through a threshing floor or some kind of crushing system. And while you look at that olive being crushed, you don't even pity it because of the pain. You know the end product. And out of that crushing, oil. You want the anointing to heal the sick genuinely, not fake miracles. You want the anointing to prophesy. You want superior grace. It won't just come by dropping an offering and hands laid on you. No, sir. There are wells in this kingdom that must be dug through hunger, through sacrifice, and through death. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yahweh. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Yahweh. Yahweh. Very quickly, let's make progress. Mystery number 2. Shilamasu brahaska dibalaka tuziata. I won't dwell so much here because we've dealt with it. The second mystery that controls results in this kingdom is called the law of the mind, the law of mental transformation. The law of mental transformation. Very powerful spiritual law. Your life will always be a reflection of your mindset, a reflection of your belief system. Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1 to 7. The key verse is verse 5. Genesis chapter 11. I meant to say Genesis 11. Just write it and then you go and study at home. But this was the story of Nimrod, Cush, building that tower whose top will reach the heavens. The Bible says, verse 4, since you've projected it, let's just look at 4 and 5 quickly. The Bible says, Nimrod, he began to market this idea. It started with an idea. Let us build a city whose top may reach the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered on earth. Look what happened in the realm of the spirit. Verse 5. While Nimrod was busy working on their minds, the Bible says the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men have finished building. Once their mindset received it, God saw a building rising in the spirit. And he came to say, what is happening? They've not started building on the ground, but their mindset was receiving it. Everything in life is built twice. It is first built in your mind, then it is built physically. Whatever is built physically and not built in your mind, you will lose it. But destroy anything physical if it's built in your mind. The law says it must be rebuilt. It's why wealthy people may go down, they may have a season of some catastrophic events, financially and otherwise, and you see them smiling. You are even crying for them, and yet they are smiling. They who are the victims, because they know that they not only sustain the ability to be fruitful, they have the ability to replenish. You will only fear your results when you do not know the laws that produce it. Watch this. I will always like to use people who cook. Imagine with me for a moment that you were to go and serve guests, and while you were preparing the meal, something happened, and then everything just poured completely on the floor, and then they give you 2 more hours or 3 more hours. You will not be afraid again, because you can still go back to the kitchen. Once the ingredients are there and you are the one who truly cooked, it's trouble if you just bought it somewhere and the place is closed. Then you are in trouble. But if you were the one who prepared it, you can go back with confidence and even use the anger to make a better version of that thing and say, what I forgot to add yesterday, as I'm coming back now, I'm adding it there. Law number 3. Are you getting blessed? The third mystery in this kingdom that has been responsible for the uncommon, extraordinary results of the saints is called the law of mastery and competence. The law of mastery, the law of competence. Write it down, please. Shilakata branda gaduzia ketebala kuzia. Proverbs 18 and verse 16. A man's gift maketh room for him, and the Bible leaves an assurance that the gift, like an usher, can bring him before great men. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Listen to me. It is powerful to be valuable. You know what it means to be valuable? To be valuable means that you sustain the ability to provide solutions that are needed and useful as far as the context of a civilization is concerned. Listen carefully. Not just the ability to provide solutions. The solutions must be needed and they must be useful with respect to that civilization. You are considered valuable to the degree to which your life and your skills provide solutions. As a man of God, I am providing a solution. The solution may be spiritual in context, but it is still a solution. Number one, I am connecting you to faith. Number two, I'm using the agency of the word of God as a reference to transform your thinking. Your thinking now being transformed will change your life. I'm standing in partnership with the Holy Spirit to provide supernatural solutions, healings, miracles, signs, and wonders. That is value. Many believers are just waiting for some magic to happen as far as their relevance is concerned. Let me tell you this. Men will only come to your light, not to you, If you are not carrying anything of value, nobody will look for you. Gentiles don't come to you. They come to your light. Let me tell you why you are alone. You are alone because there is nothing notable coming out of you that is commanding the attention of men. Value is powerful. You must have something to offer. Listen, the table of greatness was so designed that you don't just go there and shift a chair and sit down. The condition to join the great to sit on that table is that you first provide your value. Then that value is vetted. There is a threshold level of competence you must attain in order to be granted a seat with the great. Being valuable, as powerful as it is not enough. The highest position in every organization is for masters. Competence is a promoter. It can lift you beyond your background. It can lift you beyond your limitations. There's a kind of music called music of the masters. Many of you have listened to it. Those guys have mastered the art of not failing. When they sit down and they are playing, they have come to a point where they are one with what they are doing. They are not hoping they are right. Oh, you must trust God to be a master at something. Nobody will come and indefinitely be loyal to you for nothing. No. When you study leadership, there is a dimension of leadership that comes by results. People want to see results. They love you, but they love themselves too. They want to see genuine, replicable, consistent results. If you're a man of God, you must make up your mind that I will be competent. I will be competent in ministry, word delivery, excellent, prayer life, excellent, ethics of ministry, administration and managerial intelligence, excellent. Refuse to be small. Value is powerful. When I learned this, I began to rejoice. I found my way out of mediocrity. I found my way out of jealousy. I found my way out of competition. Mastery lifts you to such a pedestal in life. You are so distinguished, it will look like life is flattering you, but it's true. Let me tell you this. I learned this, and for the purpose of this discussion tonight, I want you to write it down, that the kingdom of God operates based on a reward system. The kingdom of God operates based on a reward system. And there is an auxiliary law that is tied to the law of competence, the law of value, the law of mastery. I want to quote it for you so that you have it down, and I pray that it will contribute to your lifting and your rising. Are you ready? That the rewards that we have in life, the rewards that we have in life is directly proportional to three things. The rewards that we have in life is directly proportional to three things. Number one, the need or the demand for what you do. Your rewards, our rewards in life is directly proportional to number one, the need or the demand for what we do. Number two, our ability or proficiency to do what we do. This is where skill and excellence comes in. Your ability to do what you do. And then number three, the difficulty in replacing you. I come again. Our rewards in life, financial, honor, whatever kind of reward, whether financial or psychic, whatever kind of reward, will always be in exact ratio, in exact proportion to number one, the demand or the need for what you do. Number two, your ability to do what you do. Number three, the difficulty in replacing you. When there are easy replacements for you, you will never go far in life. This is not from a competitive standpoint, but you must make up your mind to be exceptional. It is true that no man is indispensable, but make it difficult to find an alternative to you. and the company will retain you begging. I assure you, as much as they are downsizing people in this nation, there are people who will not spend 1 month without a job. They are too competent for that kind of condition. They literally are the brains behind many corporations. Many years ago, I used to know a gentleman. He was working 3 jobs and he was only working 3 or 4 times a week. He used to live in Kaduna State, but he worked in Lagos, and the company would fly him every week. He was an IT consultant. If he coughs, I think they'll buy him a pharmacy, not a drug. Listen, you must be so valuable and you must be so competent. There is a measure of honor that only comes to masters. I made up my mind, and you've heard me say it, I don't have an ambition to learn and know everything and to be exceptional in everything. But in the areas where God has called me, I made a covenant with myself and my life that I will stretch myself to a point of uncanny mastery. In ministry, in leadership, every grace that is available for signs and wonders, I will contend for it by light. Thank God for that which is given me, but I will not rest. And we will never settle for less. We know there's more that's found in you. Listen, you are a worshiper, you are a music artist. Don't just sing and be looking for those who know you to keep recycling you around. A day will come, they will be tired of you because there will be too many alternatives. You must trust God for illumination. You must trust God for mastery. Learn at the feet of masters. Rise to a point where your songs don't die. You are a businessman. Don't say, I'm doing business. They are not patronizing me. Oh, I'm a chef. Who can place a demand for you? Until you serve kings, you cannot receive the reward of kings. If Koinonia only provides value to people who are outside of politics and governance and business, respectfully speaking, and with every sense of responsibility, then you will never be able to mentor kings and bless people. The truths that are being dished out from here must be such that all and sundry can be benefactors of it. Truths that are consistent with scripture, proven by the life of exceptional people, exceptionally communicated, backed up by the power of the Holy Ghost, like fire into your spirit. You carry that truth and you can run with it. Competence. Make up your mind to be competent in the name of Jesus. You're a man of God. Make up your mind to be competent. 1 headache per year, you'll be ready for empty pews. Not in the times that we live in. You want to come and sing and you say, don't worry about the wordings. Or is it the melody? Just focus on the wordings. Then recite a poem. Are we together? Yes, I know that we all start gradually, but make up your mind. Can I tell you this? Don't come and stand in front of the stage when you are not prepared. You can relax with honor. Don't embarrass yourself. Relax with honor and train and train and make that mistake. The stage is not for training. It's in you, Lord. It's in you, Lord. We know there's more that's found in you. Apostle, I'm tired of this level. Then rise through competence. I'm tired of this level. Rise to serve kings. I'm tired of this level as a man of God. The key is not to ask people to come to listen to you. The mere fact, listen, a mango tree does not call you. It just produces fruits. Big and juicy. A few months you pass the same tree as if you didn't see it. Now look at the skill you have to employ because of the gift on it. You use stones, you use a rod, you even climb it. The tree never said you should be that desperate for it. it only produces fruits. I tell you why people are ignoring you. There is nothing notable in your life. You don't come to a tree that is not producing anything. Ask Jesus, your Jesus. Jesus came to a tree that had green leaves and no fruits. He didn't just advise it and say, next year, make sure that he cursed it. That's what men will do when you attract men to your presence and you have nothing to offer. Before you ask men, come, make sure the table is ready. Let all things be ready before you call men for a feast. Don't call for a miracle service when you've not contended for the grace for healing. When they are not healed, they will say, I'm not healed. Don't call people to teach and then you are sharing things and they go back and use the truth you're communicating and there's no results in their lives. There is nobody who leaves what works. At the instance of results, results are magnetic. They can keep men there. Keep them in your company. Not by telling lies. The greatest way to market is to tell the truth. You have no fear when it is truth. Nothing to hide. Nothing to stage manage. It is true. If I tell you God will lift you, believe me, he will lift you. If I tell you God is shifting you, it will happen. Because if he did not say it, I don't have any business repeating. You are only afraid if you speak on your own. Please make up your mind that you're going to be competent. Believers, let us not bring reproach to the name of Jesus. Let us go back and do our homework. In music, in business, in politics, in leadership. Buy the truth and sell it not. Hallelujah. Every time I finish a meeting like this, when I go back home, sincerely speaking, maybe just rest, refresh a bit, I'm getting straight to my work. As I'm preaching here right now, I have my own assignments and I have things I'm doing. I return from a meeting straight to this place, and when I'm done, not even my tiredness is an excuse. There is a generation that is depending on my competence. There are people on wheelchairs right now who are depending on my contending for that power. It is more than what you want. Don't prophesy nonsense. Everything you say is not correct. Don't say it's just God testing me. Go back and do your homework. Your name is John. No, I'm Israel. You have 2 children. No, I have 10. You are coming from Abuja. I'm coming from outside this country. Abba, that margin of error is too human. You can't blame God for it. I made up my mind that I will never stand before anybody in this life and be intimidated to a point of shame. I will be challenged. I will be provoked unto godliness. But never that I stand before anyone. I found out the difference between you and anyone is, number one, your level of enlightenment. Number two, the relationships that come at that enlightened level. Number three, the grace that is at work on your life. That's what separates people. Anybody you ever admire, this is what separates him from you. Can kings stand to applaud you? Can the great look at you and say, I am impressed, he behaves like us? Or can they show you the door and say, go out there and never come back again? Joseph was prepared. He knew he was ready to stand before Pharaoh. I'm sure when Joseph was leaving the prison, he looked at those who were there and said, gentlemen, I'm coming for you, but no longer as a prisoner. I know that when I meet the king, it's impossible for the king to have this kind of competence before him and send me back to the prison. And here's how he did it. He said, let the king search for a man. It's a diplomatic way of saying, I dare you, search the entire Egypt. If you will find a man, you've been here sweating for hours and they brought me out of prison. Don't trivialize my value. Search for the entire Egypt. If you will find a man who will interpret your dream. Listen, at the instance of competence, without consulting with kingmakers and elders, he became the prime minister. So there are times that competence can compress time and in a moment enthrone you. Someone can look at you and without an interview, just a 5 minutes conversation, he says, come and be the Nigerian representative of my company. Come and be the African representative of my company. And you are like, it's a joke. Sorry, sir, are you joking? And he says, does it sound like I'm joking? You have what I'm looking for. Do you have what the world is looking for? Do you have what the world is looking for? There are consultants and specialists today that are being flown from US, being flown from UK, from India, to come and perform surgical procedures on certain people. Why? Because they are masters. There are authorities, global authorities in certain fields. Before you go so far, they have to vet what you are writing. Is that true? No matter where you are, if you want to be initiated to this realm of greatness, you must pass through their tutelage. They look at what you're saying and say, no, adjust this, adjust that. May you be a master. The level of mastery that drives shame from your life. That you have a restaurant that will make people come and sit down there as though they were bound with a spell. What is it about your food? I found a secret. Africa, we love superstition. God is a miracle worker, but he's not a magician. It will take competence to attract honor. It will take competence to attract the goodwill of people. Nobody will clap for you indefinitely for doing nothing. Your assignment, go back to the drawing board. Your assignment, create a drawing board if you do not have one. Don't clap for yourself for too long. You've heard me say it here, that no one claps for you for the same thing twice. When they clap for you once, that's enough for that realm. If you don't do anything higher, nobody will applaud you for it again. Are we blessed? I made up my mind to bring glory to Jesus through my life. Not just through my prayers, not just through my fasting, but through competence. That anywhere he would have me serve his purposes, any church I have the opportunity to minister in, or here in Koinonia, that by the grace of God, I will never waste your 2, 3, 4 hours. It will never be that you come for any Koinonia meeting and at the end of it you are frowning and say, I just wasted my time. I would have done something else. It will be evil of me to come and waste your precious time. Many of you are veterans in business. You are captains over many. Why will you come and sit down here for hours and then learn nothing and just jump around and laugh and share the grace? That's not the God we serve. By the grace of God, you will never sit here and go back with regret. No. That whilst you sit down here, quality life applicable information will come to you that is applicable both in your spiritual life and your secular environment. And then the engracing from the spirit. This is what makes it more than a lecture. A lecture stops in the realm of your mind. But there is an anointing, an unction that backs every truth. Maybe I should say this as we prepare to round up. Many years ago, the Lord showed me a very, very interesting revelation. I was caught up in the realm of the spirit. Listen carefully. And then I saw a very big door, very giant gate. And then it was made up of smaller doors. And on every door, a scripture was written. I noticed it was that smaller doors were opening and closing, opening and closing. And every time they opened, light would just come from them. And I wondered what I was seeing. And I was saying, Lord, what is this? And then the Lord told me, every time you catch a revelation in scripture, the grace dimension to defend that truth is that light that is released. So any truth you cannot validate with your life is not yet a revelation to you, no matter how long you have talked about it. There is always grace given to the saints to defend the truths that we communicate. And the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs following. The law of absolute surrender, the law of mental transformation, the law of competence and mastery. Can you lend me 10 more minutes? Let's talk about the fourth law and then we pray very quickly. The law of faith. The fourth spiritual law that is responsible for the excelling of the saints in this kingdom is the law of faith. Mark 11, please, from verse 22 to 24. Just summarize it quickly and then we'll pray. My spirit is fired up. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Original translation says, have the faith of God. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. 24. Therefore, koinonia, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, hallelujah, when ye pray, believe that thou receivest them, and thou shall have them. Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things that I hope for. He calls it the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. Please permit me to just use money for an example. Watch this. The evidence of things not seen. This is a $100 bill. Please come. Watch this. He wants to buy, say, maybe he wants to buy this. Are we together now? And it is $100. If I give him this, I didn't give him the book, but I gave him the substance of what he's hoping for. This is the evidence that he can go to the shop and purchase it. Are we together now? This is what he wants to buy. It is not the money he wants. But the moment I gave him $100, he started smiling. It's as good as having it. Because he can go to the person, go to them that sell and buy. That's what the parable of the virgins. Once you have the ability to buy, them that sell will not hinder you. So, this is it. And he comes to the person who sells and drops this and picks this. So, this was not supposed to remain just as money. Are we together now? Eventually, I should see you holding this. If you hold this forever, something is wrong. It is either fake money or you don't know where to meet them that sell. The moment you hold this, you shouldn't just start jumping. Yes, rejoice that you have it, but don't stop there. Go to them that sell and exchange it for the real substance. So the Bible says faith is the substance of what you hope for. The evidence that although it is not here, I have the purchasing power to get it. Listen. The house is not yet there, but I have the substance. This is the evidence that it is going to be mine. The lifting has not yet appeared, but this is the evidence. Now in this kingdom, the currency is the word of God. This is it. Instead of giving you this mundane piece of paper that when you tear it, you cannot go to CBN and say, I was holding real money. It's gone. This is it. This is the instrument we use to purchase possibilities in this kingdom. Every time you find truth, it's like money being given to you. There is an exchange system in the realm of the spirit. You carry that truth. These mysteries I'm teaching you now is like dashing you money. Because you are soon going to carry this truth you are learning. There are them that sell. Don't worry, you will go to work tomorrow. You will go around and you will start seeing them that sell all around. Your destiny helpers are them that sell. The moment you meet them, you will exchange these mysteries for lifting, for favor. Everything in this kingdom is bought. But you must know the currencies that we used to buy with. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning, John 1 says. It says, and without Him, It says all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Listen to me. Very quickly, I ask for 10 minutes. Faith is based on two qualities of God. There are two major qualities of God that produce Bible faith. Number one, his integrity. Numbers 23 and verse 19. Very quickly, please. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. Believers, read with me. Ready? One, two, read. God is not a man. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Had he said, and shall he not do it? Or had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Please look up. The Bible says God is not a man. There is a weakness in all men. We lie. You don't lie because you are bad. You lie because you are human. So he says God is not a man that he should lie. He became a man, but he is not a man. If God is a man, he must worship who created him. He is not a man. He became a man. Are we together? The Bible says when God says a thing, you can trust him. He will make it good. Everybody say integrity. The word integrity comes from the word integer. Sameness. As within, so without. Sameness. When you say God is a God of integrity, that means there is consistency, dependability. When he says, I will lift you, he will not turn tomorrow and say, no, I will change my mind. Provided the conditions that make for the delivery of that promise is met and kept, he is true to his word. So the first quality of God that Bible faith depends on is his integrity. You want to deal with someone you know will not play games with you. God does not do April Fool. No. When he tells you, I will lift you, he really means it. Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 1 and 2. It shall come to pass, the Bible declares, if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, to do and observe all his commandments which I command you this day. It says that the Lord will set thee on high above the nations of the earth. And then it says that all these blessings shall come on thee and shall overtake you. There is a condition. I'm the God of integrity. I am able to do that. God is dependable. He's a God of integrity. The first quality of God that Bible faith depends on is his integrity. You must have a revelation of God's integrity. When he sends you and tells you, I will be there with you, trust him. Trust him. Even when you do not see him, trust him. Are we together? Integrity. He does not change. When God speaks to me, I believe him. When he sent me to this city, he assured me of his divine presence, and I believed him. I came because I believed him. Nobody signed any form and said, I'm coming. No. Faith. He said it. I believe. Where will the money come from the bills? It will come through the voice that spoke. Where will the people to listen come from? The word will bring them. I know that God is a God of integrity. You can trust him. You can trust him. I know that men have failed you. They promised to do A, they did B. They promised to do X, they did Y. But God is not like that. When he says a thing, he has the power to do it. Imagine the things he told you this year. That this is your year of victory. You must believe it is true. Imagine the thing he told you this year. That when men say there is a casting down for you, it will be that there is a lifting up. You have to believe him. He told you this year would not end with you crying like other years. Why are you now doubting? His integrity. God is not scratching his head, wondering how to defend his name in your life. He's the Almighty God. He's able to do it. Number two, the second quality of God that our faith depends on is his ability. There are people that have integrity, but they do not have ability. I can help you, but sincerely, I don't have the money. He has integrity. And the person he's standing with will say it's true. He's like that. Honestly, if he has money, he will give you. So his integrity is not in doubt, but there is no ability. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him who has ability. He does not just have integrity. Listen carefully. He has ability to do. There are people who want to give you jobs. They have integrity, but they do not have ability. There are people who want to lift you. They will tell you, just pray for me. If I really become the director, I will not let you suffer. They have integrity. But when it has to do with performance, you need more than integrity. You need ability. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And he does that according to the power that works in us. Everybody say, God is able. One more time, prophesy. Say, God is able. Don't be in doubt whether he can lift you. Apostle, God said he will honor me. Where will the resources come from? Ask the raven where it got bread and came and fed Elijah in the night. This is God. He can make anything out of anything. So he has integrity and he has ability. Based on the awareness of his integrity and his ability, you can now believe him. What does it mean to believe him? To count him as true. Then what do you do? The next thing you do, listen carefully. Listen carefully. This is where many people miss it out. Believing is not faith. Believing is only part of the faith equation. If all you do is believe, you are not walking in faith. Just because you have rice does not mean you have fried rice. Rice is a major ingredient, but not the only ingredient. Just because you have salt does not mean you have a well-prepared meal. Believing is only one of the equations to faith. Listen to me. The foundation of Bible faith, hinging on God's integrity and his ability, is the awareness of the promises and the instructions that your blessings are connected to. The awareness of the promises, the awareness of the instructions that your promises or your blessings are connected to. Here's how it works. Every commitment of God in the scripture, there is a condition. Every blessing in scripture, there is a condition, a participatory condition that must be met. Your condition is not necessarily adding to what Christ has done, but it's a participatory condition. If you want to prosper, find out the biblical conditions that make for prosperity. Subscribe to it with all your heart, having this at the back of your mind, that at the back end of your obedience is a God of integrity and the God of ability. You only have the readiness to judge every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Now, there's a lot of blind believing God in the body of Christ. I'm believing God for this. I'm believing God for this. You will keep jumping like that forever, respectfully speaking. No. There are conditions. The Bible is full of prophecies. The Bible is full of principles. The Bible is full of promises. When you walk through your Garden of Eden, that's this Bible, you search for the things God said he would do and search for the conditions connected to them. You want to prosper, there are conditions attached. You are only manifesting faith when, number one, you believe that God has integrity and ability. Then you find out the economic system of the kingdom, the principles that make for the blessing of the saints. Then you obtain grace from God to walk in keeping with those conditions. Only when you act out in obedience is God committed to you. Are we together? It shall come to pass if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord. I read that scripture already. The Bible says there is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is he that withholdeth more than his meat and tends to poverty. The Bible says a diligent hand shall be made fat. We just read it here that a valuable person will attract the attention of kings. The gift of a man. So don't sit down and say, God, prosper me. He's saying you walk in keeping with the principles that release that dimension of the blessing. When you walk in keeping with the principles connected to any blessing, there is no power in existence that sustains the ability to stop you from entering that inheritance. This is called the law of faith. Are we together? We are going to pray. John 11 and 40. John 11 and 40. We have to close quickly and pray. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto you that if thou shalt believe, you will see the glory of God? This is what confuses a lot of people. Just because Jesus said believe, you have to examine the word that was translated believe there. He did not just mean if you are aware that I'm able to do it. No. If you are convicted and then you act in keeping with the truths and the instructions that I give you, there is an assurance that you will see the glory of the Lord. Let me wrap up tonight then by defining faith. This is my definition of faith. That faith is the name given to the action that you take. Faith is the name given to the action that you take based on your conviction of who God is and the integrity of His word. Faith is the name given to the action, not the conviction. The action you take based on your conviction on who God is and the integrity of His person. Faith is the action you take as an obedient response to divine instructions and divine principles. Write that down. Faith is the action that you take based, you take to, what did I say now? It was from my mind. In response. The action you take in response to divine instructions and divine principles is called faith. One more time. The action you take in response to divine principles and divine instructions. If it be thou, bid me come. And he said, come. The action is called faith. I will lift you. I believe. What are the conditions? Be diligent. When you are diligent, that diligence is called faith. Are we blessed? I've shared with you tonight four kingdom mysteries. Please do not forget them. I want you to listen to this teaching again and again. You'll find it free on YouTube. Go to our page, Koinonia Global, our YouTube page. You can listen again and again. Go through all our social media pages. It's been broken down for you to listen again and learn. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and the hearing that produces understanding. Open up your heart. By the grace of God, next week we are going to finish up the remaining mysteries. And you will hold them like keys. And you can tell the gate of destiny, I am ready. Open up. Open up. Open up. I will last because I've surrendered everything. I will not become mediocre because my belief systems are superior. I will not be left out in life because I am competent and I am valuable. And then I will not be a victim. I'm not just a sociological being, a homo sapien. I relate with the divine through the law of faith. These are irrefutable keys to an excelling lifestyle. Please rise up on your feet. We're wrapping up. I'm on my way to better days.
on my way to better days. Status is changing, there's no more decline. I'm on my way to better days.
Prophesy.
Status is changing, there's no more decline. I'm on my way to better days. I'm on my way, on my way. I'm on my way to better days. I'm on my way, on my way, on my way. You're on your way, on your way. You're on your way to better days.
Now that ye know these things, happy are you if you do them. Please turn it into a prayer. Lord, the grace to apply my life to these mysteries I obtain from heaven. Please lift your voice and pray. The grace, the grace, the grace, we're wrapping up. Lift your voice and obtain grace from heaven. The grace to lay down, the grace to sustain a superior belief system, the grace for mastery and competence, the grace to be valuable, the grace to live by faith. He says the just shall live by faith. I'll never be the same, never be the same. In the name of Jesus, revealing Jesus, bringing glory to his name. Exploits by the Spirit, exploits through knowledge, exploits through understanding.
Hallelujah. Last prayer point. Listen, the Bible says the word is the seed, the parable of the sower. As soon as the word was sown, the Bible says Satan cometh immediately. Those that fall on good ground, he said, are those who understand, not just those who hear. I assure you, one day you will lock yourself at home and you will stand before your mirror with tears coming down your face and say, thank you. This is a system of insurance. This is a bailout system. The cure to mediocrity, the cure to a life of competition and jealousy. You found your way. I'd like you to obtain grace one more time and say, Lord, grace to do, grace to do. I will do this, I will do this. I will practice it by the Spirit. I will practice it by the Spirit. It will cause my life to excel. I will practice it by the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please lend me 2 minutes, and as a body of believers here and following online, I'd like us to lift up Nigeria in a prayer in 1 minute. We are responsible believers, and the church has a role to play in the stability of any nation. We are responsible leaders. We can lend our voice to the heavens. We must cry to God and say, Lord, help us. We humble ourselves and we ask for help. We have stretched our intellect. We've stretched what we know to do. We need divine strategies. Lift your voice and pray. Pray for the government. Pray for members of parliament. Declare peace upon our nation. Lend your voice in prayer. Lend your voice to prophesy. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It says they shall prosper that love you. Lord, grant peace. Peace to our children. Peace in Abuja. Peace in the north. Peace in the south. Peace in the east. Peace in the west. In the name of Jesus, let the voice of violence be far from our habitation. We pray for wisdom. Direct our leaders in the name of Jesus. Grant us selflessness to lead this nation with wisdom. Grant the grace to look beyond our personal benefits and lead a nation where peace and justice will reign. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Very quickly, you are here and you are saying, Apostle, I want to hand over my entire life to Jesus. I came to church because I was invited. I came because there is a hunger and a longing in my heart for Jesus. Whether you are here in the main auditorium or all of the overflows down to the basement, outside, anywhere. I know our time is gone, but we cannot compromise on the mandate for the global harvest. Just 2 minutes for you, wherever you are, I'd like you to boldly leave your seat and come stand here. It's my joy and my honor to lead you to Jesus. You are saying, Apostle, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, but for some reason, things have gone haywire in my life. Don't be ashamed. Don't wait for someone to come. Be the first to come. Take that bold step. Let's celebrate them as they come. Koinonia, is this the best you can do for them? All those in the overflows, just walk to your screen. Just walk to your screen. You may not have the time to come to the main auditorium. All those in the overflows, down to the basement, outside, following online, I'd like you to connect as I lead God's people in prayer. If you're still joining them, come quickly. Be bold. Come to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for making this very bold decision. I'd like you to lift your right hand. All of you here, lift it to Jesus. All in the overflow, do same. Lift your hands to Jesus. Those following online, in your room, your office, your car, just watching from your device, you can lift your hands right there. Jesus is there. I want you to pray this prayer loud. Say after me, Lord Jesus. You're joining them, join them very quickly. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you with all my heart. I believe that you are the Son of God. Tonight, I have heard your word. I surrender everything to you. I receive forgiveness of sin. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And I declare, from tonight until forever, I belong to Jesus. I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, keep your hands lifted. Father, thank you. Thank you for these ones. The Bible declares that whosoever will come to you, you will in no wise cast away. They have come with hearts open. They have come with hearts repentant. I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for that which you have done. I commend them to the ministry of the word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that they be established, that they be grounded in righteousness. I pray that they will go forward ever and backward never. And according to the authority of scripture, I declare your sins forgiven. I declare that God gives you a new beginning. In Jesus' name I pray. Congratulations. I want all of you to follow. There's a gentleman waving a placard, just waving to you. Please, all of you, follow them. Same with the overflows. Just follow them. They will have a word with you and you'll be back to your seat. Koinonia, celebrate them. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So let me advise very quickly. Please, after service, as much as possible, do well to just exchange pleasantries as fast as you can, and then do well to reach for your homes. We close early today because we have to work with the injunction, the curfew. As you know, we have curfew by 12 midnight, and we do not want to keep both our precious members and the workers here late more than necessary. And so I hope that you bear with us when and if the protocol department, if they seem to cut away some of the people who may want to wait behind to see me, I apologize. I know that so many people may want to see me, but please, we may make it another time. Praise the name of the Lord. Aside from a few of our guests and a few special cases, as much as possible, just go home rejoicing with what you have heard, and the Lord will bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Are we good on that? Let's share the grace in fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. God bless you, and see you on Sunday.